I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Flames Nation Radio. I'm Ryan Pike, along with, as always, Shane Stevenson.
That's me.
Hi, Shane.
Hello, everybody.
As always, Flames Nation Radio is delivered to you by DoorDash and also presented by Eau Claire Distilleries, Rupert's Whiskey, the official whiskey of the Calgary Flames. It's been an interesting week, Shane. Since the last, so here in a nutshell, folks, here is basically, we'll get into these things in some detail, but here is basically how the last 7 days has transpired in the land of Calgary hockey. Number one, so literally a couple hours after we recorded last week's episode on Wednesday, before the episode even went up, after we praised Matt Coronato, the United States ended up losing a heartbreaker to Czechia. I mean, let's give a shout out to the Czech team. They took it to the United States. They played their game, and the United States did not. And as a result, the United States did not make it to the semifinal. But Coronato ended up having a very good tournament, and he is headed back to Harvard for his sophomore season. For those of you wondering, we've written about this on the site. Generally speaking, players, high-end players who go to Harvard don't stay for the full 4 years. Most of them, high-end players, sign after 2 years more often than not. Some players stay longer because they're Adam Fox and they really want to play in a particular place. But for the most part, American-born players, regardless of the country of the team that drafted them, Cole Caulfield is an American man who signed with the Montreal Canadiens out of U.S. college because Cole Caulfield really wanted to play NHL hockey and has done so and has done quite well. My expectation is that I'm not one to make predictions, but the NCAA regionals are in mid-March. The Frozen Four is in the first week of April. I would imagine we see Matt Coronato in a Flames jersey at some point during the season. I've been wrong before. It's just a gut feeling based on everything I'm hearing and seeing. And, you know, he's Shane, Shane, you pointed us out in the Flames Nation Slack, I believe. You know what Scott Wheeler said?
Our friend Wheeler said he was ready to play tomorrow.
Yeah, Scott Wheeler, cheap plug for our friends over the Athletic. Scott Wheeler posted his rundown of players at the World Juniors. It's very extensive because that's how Scott rolls. And Scott's breakdown of Matt Coronato's tournament basically said he was the Team USA's best forward and he could play in the NHL tomorrow. Granted, Coronato will have, you know, my guess is he plays, you know, he's going back to school. He has not signed a contract. He's going back to school. He'll play a year with a very prominent role for Harvard. Harvard is a very good team. He's one of the best players in a very good team. And generally speaking, for college players, it's sort of a matter of what do you have left to do to develop at the NCAA level. We saw Coronato against his age group in the World Juniors. You know, if we're being honest, he stood out for skill wise. He also stood out because he's a little small. He's not going to get less small. I think he's listed at 5'10", so he's Mangiapane size. He's a little bit skinnier than Mangiapane, and I imagine the lighter NCAA schedule allows him to go to the gym more often, beef up a bit, the Flames will help him out with his meal plan and he can, add a little bit of protein to his diet and sort of beef up a bit there too. The Flames, during the for those of you wondering, the NCAA rules for college players are very specific about what they can and can't accept from NHL teams because they have to maintain their amateur status. That's why when a player signs a pro contract, they lose their amateur eligibility. That's why you don't see much like with Major Junior. I mean, you have players sign their entry level deals and then go pro later on, but that's not an option for college players. So it's just a matter of, you know, weighing your options. The Flames can and are involved in sort of helping guide his development. They're in regular contact with Coronado, with his coaches, with his advisor. You're not allowed to say agent. The NCAA players don't have agents. They're advisors, even though they're the same thing, much like how the Calgary.
They're advisors until he signs his first deal.
It's a semantic distinction that makes everyone feel better. It's like the difference between an arena and an event center. Even though, you know, the advisor is advising a potential NHL player on his future NHL contract, but we don't call them agents because they're not allowed to have agents. It's fair weird, enough. But anyway, we're sorry for jinxing you, Matt Coronado, last week.
Yeah, we kind of pooched that.
Yay. Hey, we had a 50-50 chance of jinxing them and we jinxed them. Audie's not here this week, so we're blaming Audie. 100%. Because we can. Audie will be back with us in future weeks to he'll be popping in every now and then to provide some levity to the situation and be someone we can blame for things. So Audie, we're sorry for blaming this on you, but it's easy for us to do when you're not here to defend yourself. So that's what we're doing. As we transition to other things, important reminder, folks, All You Can Eat Rib Fest in Montana's lasts until September 12th. They have the All You Can Eat Rib menu. You can go, you can get messy, hashtag get Montana's messy. Yeah. Post your videos and photos of yourself with ribs all over your face. They have great sauces. They have great ribs. They have the combo where you get ribs, you get chicken, you get shrimp skewers, you get your choice sides. The cornbread's really good. Again, All You Can Eat Ribs on until September 12th at Montana's. We're not just being paid to plug Montana's. We're big fans of Montana's. I had the ribs last week and I forgot to take a photo. To be honest, my hands are so messy that I couldn't grab my camera to take a photo. And I don't look great to begin with, so I don't really want to put too much sauce in my face to, you know, I'm already fighting an uphill battle, but hashtag get Montana's messy. You can win fabulous prizes. And even if you don't win fabulous prizes, you get lots of ribs. So there's really no downside to this. Speaking of no downside, as we alluded to, a lot of stuff happened the last week. So there's some good and some bad, some arrivals and departures. We'll handle the arrivals first. Essentially, let's back it up, folks. So since the Stanley Cup final concluded and the Calgary Flames were mulling their options, many in the hockey community, both people working in front offices and just goons like us, have thought to themselves, man, okay, they probably could have used a bit more je ne sais quoi, let's say. What's the French, how the French would say, I don't know what. The Flames.
And they need a little oomph.
Yeah, the Flames in the Battle of Alberta in particular, after, you know, Chris Tanev, probably the grittiest player on the team,
best defensive player for sure.
Yeah, but he was their glue guy. But also, you know, if you're calling the Flames tough to play against, one of the guys who's a reason they're tough to play against is Chris Tanev. Chris Tanev was not 100%. Chris Tanev was not close to 100%. Chris Tanev underwent surgery and he's feeling better. So good for you, Chris. We're excited to see you back at 100% soon.
Pumped to have him back.
But if you're doing the postmortem on the 22 Flames and their demise in the Battle of Alberta, one of the reasons they didn't win was that they simply didn't play their game and they didn't play their structure. They didn't play gritty enough. Honestly, they just really didn't look like the Flames. So if you're going, okay, well, they need a bit more of the stuff that Chris Tanev brings, the obvious person to look at acquiring would have been Nazem Kadri, because Nazem Kadri, he's a bull in a china shop. I did a chat with the folks at the Calgary Eye Opener on CBC Radio earlier this week. One of the things that they mentioned that, you know, has been mentioned many times in the past is Nazem Kadri's been suspended a lot. He's been fined a lot. He's suspended a lot, much like the departed Matthew Tkachuk. And you know, for both those players, I think the through line between all their suspensions and chicanery was they're players that are engaged in the game. And sometimes they just go a bit over the line. And
yeah,
but you know, the nice thing is at least they're invested in the game. So the Flame, you know, I imagine the Flames were interested in Nassim Kadri from the
Flames
get-go.
Weren't scared of that back when he was with the Leafs, cause they tried to get him. Like they were like, yeah. We don't care. Like yeah. we want that grittiness.
The Flames have been interested in Nassim Kadri for a while. He's a player that Brad Treliving really likes and has liked for a while. In 2019, in the offseason, the Flames infamously basically made a trade for him. But Nassim Kadri at the time had a no-trade list in his contract, and he wanted to stay with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's a guy who grew up in London, Ontario. He grew up a Leafs fan. He wanted to stay with the Leafs. Didn't work out that way when he said no to the trade to the Calgary. They traded him to Colorado instead. And he played out the remainder of his contract in Colorado. And this was
worked out pretty well for him.
It worked out pretty well for Colorado.
I think so.
He got a Stanley Cup ring this past summer in Colorado. Colorado got a trophy and got their names on and stuff. So it worked out pretty well. But the Colorado Avalanche had a bunch of different things they need to do with different players. And so the Colorado Avalanche were interested in bringing him back, they didn't have the cap space to bring him back. The Calgary Flames were interested pretty much since, since the onset of free agency, especially once they realized that they probably wouldn't, and then definitely wouldn't have Johnny Gaudreau, and then probably wouldn't, and then definitely wouldn't have Matthew Tkachuk. But
the Matthew Tkachuk thing changed the way it looked.
So the Flames were talking to Kadri's camp, but I don't think it really got serious until fairly recently. And the thing that probably changed was the Flames got Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau. And all of a sudden it went from, oh no, what are the Flames going to do, to, huh, what are the Flames going to do? Yeah. So here's what happened. There was a two-part transaction. A two-part transaction. Part one is the Flames traded with a myriad of conditions. It'll probably end up being a 2025 first round pick. And Sean Monahan, with 1 year left in his contract, making $6.375 million, to the Montreal Canadiens for future consideration. So the Flames essentially stapled a draft. They got the
draft pick they got for Tkachuk. Basically,
the Flames got an extra draft, extra first round pick in the trade with the Florida Panthers for Matthew Tkachuk. They got Huberdeau, McWeager, Schwint, and a first. The first is conditional. So the Flames essentially went, okay, we have an extra first. Montreal, do you want a first for eating the last year of Monahan's contract? The Habs they're not going to be great next year. They got the first overall pick this past year. They're probably not going to have Carey Price this season because of Price's injuries and his knee not rehabbing as well as they had hoped it would. So they have the ability to eat a bad contract. And I'll give credit to Kent Hughes, the new GM of the Montreal Canadiens. I wouldn't say he had Brad Treliving over a barrel, but Treliving said during the media call he had with us media types after the transactions went down, the Flames didn't want to go into a situation where everyone knew they needed to pay someone to open up cap space for them. So they worked out a deal with the Habs.
They just were like, yeah, okay, you're the first person we've talked to, let's get this done. Like you're the first one that's shown real interest, let's do it. What's the price?
Clubs are allowed to spend 10% over the cap during the offseason. The Flames didn't really want to do that because it invites any number of complications. So
it's the same price the Leafs had to pay to get rid of last year Marlowe's deal. Exactly the same price that was paid. So that's the market set at that price. That $6 million worth of cap space worth and, first round pick.
And we'll get into the Monahan of it all in a little bit. But for Monahan's coming off of, for lack of a better term, a shitload of surgeries.
Yeah,
Sean, we'll talk about Sean Monahan in a little bit. But Monahan has, in a nutshell, paid the price for the style of play he's done and the types of goals he scored. The term that they use for the area around the blue paint and in the slot is a high rent district. And Sean Monahan has gotten the shit beaten out of him, scoring many goals for the Calgary Flames. In the 2013 draft class, he's third points, third in goals. The guys ahead of him in goals are Nathan McKinnon and Sasha Barkov.
I was gonna say the guys who went for one and two.
Yeah.
You guys so,
Sean Monahan at six overall has been exceptionally good value for the Flames. And unfortunately for him, he has had horrible luck. He goes to the higher rent district, and every time you set up your shop there, you roll the dice. And unfortunately, the dice have come up snake eyes for Sean too many times. He's coming off of last summer he had hip labrum surgery on one of his hips. This summer he had hip labrum surgery on the other side of his hips. You don't really know what he's going to be. And so because if you're Montreal, the question is, what are you getting? And the answer is, I don't know. And so
you got a year of him.
Yeah. A year of, I don't know.
And if he shows up for Montreal as well, if he shows up and actually turns into a decent point producer, they could flip him at the deadline again for something else. So if Montreal's not trying to compete, they got a first round pick and they might get even more out of Sean Monahan. It's a win-win-win for them. Calgary gets back to the Kadri. Calgary only ends up spending an extra $750,000. They're still under the cap with only Rozichka to sign. Now they've still got room to add more if they want to on the wing, especially if they move a defender out.
Let me get my phone calculator here. So
yeah, one knows the cap like this.
The second part of the transaction was that the Flames with the cap space opened up from the transaction for Sean Monahan, they signed Nazem Kadri to a 7-year deal worth $7 million a year, $49 million total. In the first, I think, 4 years, it includes a no move clause. It's not very heavy in signing bonuses. It's got a few bonuses, but it's buyoutable, which is nice. For Kadri's perspective, he is basically locked in with Calgary for as long as he wants to be, at least for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, we'll have some details on the site sometime on Thursday, but the cap's probably going to go up fairly significantly in 2024. So the Flames are going to live lean this season, the 22-23 season. They don't really have a lot of crazy shit to deal with next offseason. They have, Milan Lucic coming off the books. It'll be a little bit tight because if you're someone who's doing your cap math, the thought process prior to Nazem Kadri getting signed was, okay, so you have Monahan and Lucic coming off the books. That's like 11 million, 11 and change. But you'd also have new deal for Uyghur probably, and a new deal for Huberdeau.
So Huberdeau one jumped, yeah, 5 million.
So the idea, if your thought process was, okay, so Huberdeau and Uyghur would get the money freed up by Lucic and Monahan, congratulations, you're thinking the exact same way Shane and I were. And
it's already done, by the way.
Yeah, and
money's already taken up now.
Yeah, so they're going to have to do some work to make life simple for themselves in terms of Uyghur's salary. But that's another problem. That's Brad Living's problem.
The other thing is, even say, no matter what happens with Lucic at the end of the year, the role he's filling can be filled with that. If you bring him back, but I'm not going to roll that out until the end of the year. I got to see how the year goes. But even then, if you're going to fill a fourth line role, ideally you're not spending more than even like what you paid Rooney, right? Like 1.3, like
Rooney's still making more than he probably should.
Yeah, I agree. The same thing with Gabranson last year, more than what his reputation earned him prior to it. But you can backfill that with either a young player that plays a fourth line style, or you could save some money there and go with a league mentor.
Much like the Flames philosophy, the Flames philosophy was heading into the 2022 playoffs with Tkachuk and Gaudreau pending UFA and RFA. Their philosophy was, you know what? We're going to make a run for it and we'll see what happens afterwards. And it turned out weird, then it turned out much better for them. Their philosophy probably heading into they'd love to have everything figured out cap-wise for 23-24 season right now. That's not an option, really. And I don't think they really care to make it an option until they have to. You can figure it out. So essentially the Flames, the transaction more or less worked out to Monahan's roster spot and cap space for Kadri. Yep. And they're spending about, I think, $650,000 or $625,000 or something like that.
He was 6.35, so it was 650 more on
$375,000.
Yeah, more on
like I think 625 or something like that. They're spending less than a league minimum player more for Kadri than Monahan. All due respect to Sean Monahan, I think Kadri's an upgrade, at least right now. He's older. Yeah. He's got more miles on him. Yeah.
And he's shown a propensity to bounce back from previous injuries. And,
yeah, and he's got a ring. And so the Flames center depth right now, their top three lines will be centered by a combination of Selke runner-up Elias Lindholm, Stanley Cup champion Nazem Kadri, and perennial Selke vote-getter Michael Backlund. Michael
Backlund, Mr. Flame. He's Mr. Flame now, by the way.
Michael Backlund
is Mr. Flame.
He's what, third all-time? Tied for second or tied for third all-time in games played?
When he ends his contract, if he doesn't miss a game over the next 2 years, he'll have 990 games played in the Flames uniform by the end of his deal.
Yeah, so I
just shy of 1,000.
We're talking about this off air. I can't think of a time when the Flames on paper have had better 1-2-3 center depth.
They haven't. Period.
And the cool thing is, like, this, you know, we've talked in the past about, you know, last week's episode, we went through the lineup. We talked about their defensive versatility. Holy cow. If you're Daryl Sutter and the idea is you want to be able to throw different looks at opposition teams, especially in a playoff series, but even just, you know, you're going to have situations where you play San Jose a couple times in 2 or 3 days. You're going to play St. Louis a couple times in 2 or 3 days, sort of mini series. Those are going to be remarkable experiments for the team's depth, because I think both of them are two games on the road and other teams burn, but you have the ability to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think by default, I would assume Huberto is on the first line, but it's Huberto, Lindholm, and somebody. And then your second line is probably, I don't know, some combination of Kadri with Mangiapane, Toffoli, Coleman, like two of those three guys. Your third line is probably Dubé, Backlund, Pelche on paper, although they still have 2 points. I got to open a spreadsheet.
I really think that the Lions are going to end up nothing like any of us actually think they're going to start. And then as time goes on, he's a chess player and he knows what he's doing
right now. The Flames have $2.136 million in cap space remaining. And that is with two goaltenders, seven defensemen, the seventh defenseman being Yusuf Alamaki, the most expensive seventh they can have. And 12 forwards. So that assumes no extra forwards, but they're going to have an extra forward. So they're going to do something.
Get someone, either whether it's Ruzicka or even someone else on top of that.
I think this is going to be a really interesting camp, because I think the Flames could do some creative things with PTOs, because defensive wise, I think they're set. I think they'd be open to trading some of their defensive depth for some forward help. And I think we've been pointing this out. If you bury Valimaki in the AHL, he has a cap hit in the NHL. So that's dead cap space. The Flames would love to avoid dead cap space. So I think
that's if he even clears waivers.
If he clears waivers, he doesn't have to deal with it anyway. But I think if you're the Flames, you'd love to get something for him, but you're also dealing with the fact that teams might think, oh, I can just get him for free on waivers. But if he has a good camp, there will be multiple teams trying to get him on waivers. So that's an X factor. The Flames also have a bunch of guys.
Valimaki actually plays in Calgary's favor, because then there'll actually be people bidding for him.
Yep. So I think that's going to be something to watch during camp. I think there's a lot of interesting PTO options potentially at the forward level. I think they have more than enough goaltenders. They have more than enough defensemen. The forward depth is a question mark, and I think they're aware of it and they're trying to address it. And shocker, they have 2.1.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
$4 million in cap space with which to address it. I don't think they're in a hurry. I don't think they're going to be rushing out to fix that problem tomorrow, but I also think they don't want to hit October 10th and have to still fix that problem.
And like, it's the 2 point whatever. I take out league min because that's what I think Rzeczka is going to get. It's same kind of situation when Manch and Shillington ended up as RFAs after their first year where they didn't even play a full season. It was accept calling off R and let's go, right? Like accept it and let's go. And that's like, that's what they did. Rzeczka seems like in a very similar situation right now. Like, cause that all happened just before the season and camp started when both of those deals were signed back that way back when. So yeah, that's what I see. But even then you still have 1.4 million to deal with a winger. And that's before you move, possibly move out Valimaki or someone else. So they've got room to get decent, like, winger that could play third line, maybe second line minutes, depending. The cap squeeze is tight and agents know that. It's late in the year, the money's been spent, so there's only so much
but, to go but around. If I'm a player's agent, I'm also saying congratulations, you spent all your money. That's not my problem. But let's be on, if we're being honest here, the cap situation league wide is why Nazem Kadri is available when Nazem Kadri is available.
Exactly.
So
exactly, like
you can't play it both. You can play it both ways.
Well, you know, but the Flames are one of the teams that are competitive with cap space. That's the difference. The fact the Flames are actually competitive and have the space versus a lot of the other teams that are with space like Chicago and Arizona. Like these teams aren't competitive. Ottawa is the only other one. They're, by the sounds of things, still looking to do stuff on their back end. Detroit's not trying to compete. Dallas has a lot of space, but like they're the other one that might compete. And Nashville is about the same as Calgary. Other than that, I mean, there's Colorado and Minnesota down there, but Calgary had the space for Kadri. The only other teams that would have had space for Kadri would have been Chicago, Ottawa, Detroit, Dallas, Anaheim, Buffalo, or Arizona. So at that price that he signed for. So his options weren't the greatest, at $7
million. Here's the hilarious thing. So I'm stealing this from Sportsnet Stats. The folks at BetRivers posted betting odds for the Stanley Cup championship. The Flames at when the Stanley Cup final closed were 20-1 underdogs for the Stanley Cup. When they lost their two best players, their odds went down to 23-1, and now they are 16-1. So
17 this morning when I checked.
So. Yeah. So betrivers.com. They're 16-1 underdogs. I think plus 1600. So here's the remarkable thing: the Flames lost their two best players. The Flames lost two 100-point players, and somehow they become a better bet than they were before, at least in terms of the gamblers.
It's because they lost weird. Two. They lost two, but they gained three. That's the kicker. They lost two, it's significant, but they gained three. The Uyghur of it all is what really is putting the Flames. Like, they replaced Tkachuk's grit and nastiness and everything in Kadri. They replaced the playmaking ability with a bigger, stronger Huberto. Now, he won't be able to stick handle like Johnny does, but he brings his own thing. And then they improved on Eric Gudbranson to Mackenzie Uyghur. And it's the Gudbranson to the Uyghur that makes the biggest difference in my, if I were setting odds for the betting. Like, their defense is the same else other than that. Their bottom six is the same other than that. Everything else kind of falls in the same.
Well, so. And that's the thing. Like, to steal a phrase from our friend, friend of the program, Peter Labardius, slotting. So we've been saying for years, and I don't, this is not meant on a slight, as a slight to Michael Backlund, because anyone who's read Flames Nation over the past decade knows that we love Michael Backlund. He's amazing. But here's the thing: on a good team, on a championship caliber team, Michael Backlund's probably your third line center. And now Michael Backlund's their third line center. That's pretty good. It gives you the ability to give guys like Dubé and Pelche, maybe Rzeczka plays the wing, maybe I don't know what else they're thinking of doing, but it gives you the ability, for lack of a better term, to give Pelche some training wheels. And that's not meant to be disparaging towards him or to Backlund, but Michael Backlund has made a bunch of fairly borderline NHL players look fairly passable. It made some passable NHL players look like world beaters. If we call it the Backlund bump in the analytics community for a reason, because you play with Backlund, all of a sudden your shooting percentage goes up, the puck goes in the right direction perpetually, and life is good. And when that happens, it makes life easier for the rest of the team. And so now the Flames, in terms of, you know, tough minutes, are you going to go up against someone like, you know, Elias Lindholm on his line? Because if you're playing Elias Lindholm, you're probably going to play against the Flames' best defensive players. If you're not playing against Lindholm, you're playing against Nazem Kadri, who is as likely to, you know, fire a slapper on your net as he is to punch you in the face. Or you're playing against Backlund, who is just a bulldog on the puck in terms of possession.
He will give you nothing in your own, in the attacking zone, and you will deal with it.
And you mentioned the, you know, I think the storyline to follow in camp will be just how you know, Kirk Muller and Daryl Sutter mix and match the wingers, because I think they're going to do a lot of different things. But I think, you know, we saw it last year, you know, Coleman and Mangiapane fit Backlund style really, really well, and vice versa. And
well,
I think we're going to see a lot of different looks.
But you know that works, and you can always go back.
You have that to fall back on.
So I don't think we see that to start. I think we see that, okay, let's see how, like, you want to see how Huberto and Kadri are going to work with what you already know works. So you're going to try a bunch of things to start, especially in training camp. I'm interested for training camp to see how long the fringe guys stay, like the Rizicka, the Zari, the Pettersson, the Peltier. Like, I want to see how long they stick at camp. Personally, because last year they were there for a game and then they went back.
Well, last year they basically had two camp groups. They had the NHL group and the NHL fringe guys, and then they had the AHL group. And the reason why was because Daryl Sutter had never had a full camp with the players before, and he wanted a chance to drill things in. And okay, like, given the circumstance and given how it turned out, yeah, that was probably the right idea. It worked out pretty well. Yeah. I'm really curious, Shane, if they do that a little bit differently this year. Like, is it more of an integrated group? Are we going to see more of the same with sequestering the two groups away from each other? Are they going to be more integrated? Because we only really saw them integrated during preseason games, and barely. It was like you take a line from one group and plunk it into the other group, and then, okay, that's where you go. So that'll be interesting. The other thing with slotting is the thing with Mackenzie Weegar, because Mackenzie Weegar is a top pairing defenseman. And the nice thing with that is the Flames before, they had two second pairs. Granted, they had two second pairs that worked really well to the point where they could sort of use them interchangeably as a 1A, 1B one, but they were essentially 1A, 1B by default, because they had a defined three and then they had two pairings that were pretty good, but you had to use them you had to flex them around depending on the usage. Mackenzie Weegar is going to be on the top pairing. And I'm curious how they mix and match. I'm just curious how that's going
to
turn out.
To me, if you're going to put him on the top pairing, he's playing with Anderson, and that's Weegar Anderson pairing. And then you go Hanifin, Tanev, Shizadarov, Shillington. Anderson and Hanifin to me have to play in the top four. They have to. They're top four defensemen. That's what they are. If you're going to add Weegar into that, then you've got two rights and a left. Zadorov is not a top four defenseman. I'm sorry, Big Z. I love you. I love you where you're slotted. I hope you stay. You're perfect. Shillington, we know, works with Tanev, but are you putting Tanev there? Are you putting Shillington and his skating ability there? Shillington's never played his offside either. Zadorov would have to play the right side.
He's played it in Sweden, but not for, like, he hasn't
not
played
at the NHL level.
He's like
not at the NHL. Not at the NHL level. Yeah, not at the NHL level, not for 70.
And Zadorov did play his offside a bit last year. So
yeah, at times. So that's what I'm saying is, like if someone's going to lose the minutes, I would envision it being Shillington. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at some point a Zadorov-Tanev third pair, because Tanev's not exactly got 3 miles.
But I think they're going to mix and match. I think they're going to.
It's whatever's necessary based on the situation. It's. They will have set regular partners for certain games and to build chemistry, and you need that. You need to know where your partner is in the ice. It's very essential.
I think the nice thing is, you know, on paper at least, how do you pre-scout the Flames now? I mean, they're gonna have guys that tend to play together, but you're like, okay, you're playing Markstrom. Here's the scouting report of Markstrom, and then you're going to see any number of things that could switch around depending on the game.
Yeah. And then there's Sutter, 10 minutes left, it's 3-1, and now you're just getting a heavy dose of Weegar Tanev nonstop. Like, What are you going to do? Right?
Or the short bench situation will be fascinating because, like, you know, you can shorten the bench and just roll your top six. You can short your bench and roll a good top nine. You can shorten your bench.
They didn't really do that last year, though.
They didn't really have to.
Yeah, they rolled, and then whenever they needed to, like, because I just love it. Fans are always like, why is Lucic out there with 4 minutes to go? And I'm like, well, it's his turn. It's his shift. They roll the lines. Like, they don't – they use four. They don't – I think that's the phrase, right? He said he uses –
That was Daryl's line. He doesn't roll four lines. He uses four lines. The four lines all have a purpose. And to be honest, maybe the fourth line's purpose is just to give the guys higher up the rotation a rest. That is a use.
I did want to mention, when you mentioned Peter's slotting phrase, I just brought it up before we move on, is the fact that now if there's an injury, if say Lindholm gets hurt, which they never had to deal with last year, well, now you can move back with them. And then you're not shy to put Ruzicka, who now will be in his second year of pro, as a third line C, and not on the fourth line, right? Like, you have room. Major pro. Like, NHL level, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Like, games in the NHL. Second year games in the NHL.
Just call him a second year NHLer.
Second year NHLer. There you go. You got the phrasing down. But it allows them to do that. It allows them to...
I can hear Paige and Mike screaming at their computers about this utter disrespect to the American Hockey League.
Yeah, they can yell at me. I don't care. Do not care.
But yeah, I agree. I agree with you. It gives them the ability. It provides them with insulation, especially like you have potentially Dubé who can flex to center, flex in the wing. Yeah, they have some guys in the farm that can do the same thing. Cole Schwint could do the same thing.
Really good at faceoffs.
They have a lot of guys who could sort of play all over the place, depending on injuries, depending on matchups, depending on camps.
But it doesn't hurt to call anybody up now because everyone's slotted so properly.
And
you have the insulation. Like last year, if Lindholm got hurt, who's playing third lines? Who's playing second line C? Like, right? Like you're just missing pieces. You didn't have enough. And now you are. You're built exactly the way your head coach wants. Strong up the middle and strong on D.
They have an IKEA offense right now. It's full of Swedes and they have all these extra pieces they can use. They have all these extra
simply required.
They have a bunch of wooden dowels.
Yeah.
And that weird Allen key thing, which I don't know what to do with. So the other thing we're going to steal from Peter is good people. Let's give a shout out to Sean Monahan. He ends his tenure in Calgary after 9 seasons with the organization. They were all spent in the NHL, and he was, you know, I vividly remember that draft. I vividly remember that, for lack of a better term, tumultuous, let's call it, offseason. The Flames in at the end of March that year, that was the lockout year. The Flames traded away Jerome McKinla for 2 random college kids and a draft pick. And the first pick they made in the post-Jerome McKinla era, 6th overall, was Sean Monahan. And Sean Monahan came in and he was good right away. I remember at that point, it was in the dying days of the Jay Feaster regime. Jay did not last until 2014. But at the time, they brought in Brian Burke to be president of hockey operations, sort of oversee the rebuild. And Brian's whole thing was Burke did not want to have junior age kids on the team. He was basically like, if you're going to be, and you know, shocker, Brian Burke sending messages to the media, but he told us repeatedly, and I assume he told Sean Monahan to his face repeatedly, because that's how Burke works. He basically said, if you're going to, you know, you got to be better than everyone else basically to make the team as a teenager. And Sean was very, very good in that camp. And then Berkey's like, 10 games, we're going to see how he does.
You get the 9 games.
See how he goes. Okay, he was good.
And then he started scoring goals.
He was good for 9 games. They couldn't send him down. And then the other milestone for players is for 40 games, because at 40 games, that year starts running the clock under UFA eligibility. Yeah. And so the Flames could have sent him down half of the season, but he was, by that point, he was playing regular top 6 minutes. He was, you know, very, very good at even strength. He wasn't getting a lot of power play time. That wasn't until later on. But Sean Monahan just, Monahan came in and he was a very useful National Hockey player as a 19-year-old. He was a late birthday. He turned 19 his first little bit of the season. He was extremely useful as a teenager. And then if you're Brad Fielding coming in that spring after the Flames have, you know, they finished fourth and last in the league, and you're thinking, oh God, they got a lot of work to do. Like, Brad's to-do list was very, very long when he came in. But one thing he didn't need to figure out was find a center, because Sean Monahan was very good. Johnny Gaudreau had played one game, and Johnny Gaudreau and Sean played together a bit in the first couple months of the 14-15 season, found chemistry right away, and all of a sudden, okay, you don't need to worry about your first line anymore. And then, so yeah, without Sean Monahan being Sean Monahan as quickly as he was and being as consistent as he was and scoring as many key overtime game-winning goals, goals in general, without Sean Monahan being Sean Monahan, I think the Flames rebuild turns out a lot differently and a lot worse.
One player that will get an absolute standing ovation when they come back to the Dome next year, it's going to be Sean Monahan.
And it'll be
one about deserved. The other guys.
It'll be very well deserved.
But Sean Monahan not only deserves it, and I foresee it happening, will get a long standing ovation from the Sea of Red, because everyone here, like Daryl said it, we respect hard work, and nobody worked their butt off, even when he couldn't bend over. He couldn't bend over because then he couldn't stand up, and he still was giving it every night because he wanted to win.
2 years in a row, 2 years in a row of his hip locking up. The guy just
gave his entire body to the city and the team.
I love you, Sean, but it's more heart than brains at that point. I mean, I hope that Sean is fully recovered. I hope Sean has a great season. I'm sure, you know, we were joking.
Honestly, this, 20 goals.
We were joking about this before the we went on air, talking to people around the Flames organization, talking to people around the league. There's a lot of respect and a lot of affection for Sean Monahan in hockey circles. And at the very least, there's going to be two organizations, probably a lot more than two, but at least two organizations in the league will be really hoping that Sean has a good bounce back year and stays healthy, because, you know, he was a very important person on and off the ice for the Flames, and they really needed at that point, you know, they had Mark Giordano to be a culture guy right away, but you don't put a letter on Sean Monahan as early as you did without him being the right guy.
Yeah.
And he was the right guy. And he, you know, I think the Flames organization wouldn't be where it is today, for, you know, in a lot of different ways without Sean. So we're hoping that Sean, he's feeling better, feeling good. I mean, I'm hoping that he's 100% at some point and is able to enjoy a nice summer, because I don't think there's a lot of people, you know, in the league that deserve it more. And, I'm sure the Flames organization, aside from the two games a year they're playing against them, they'll be cheering really hard and really loudly for Sean Monahan. So I think that basically does it. I think we hit on everything we really needed to hit on.
Other than that, it's starting to slow down as camp rolls in.
So oh, it's not slowing down. Wow. We're expecting in the next, week or so, we should know who the Flames ECHL affiliate's going to be. Mm-hmm. By the time we post this, it'll probably be announced. Also, the Flames signed, kind of in a surprise, the Flames signed Lucas Foch to an AHL deal. He'll be playing with the Wranglers next year. Lucas Foch is kind of interesting because he's kind of like Ilya Nikolaev in the sense that when the Flames drafted Foch, Foch was a fourth rounder, pretty well regarded as a potential Backlund. I mean, not as good as Backlund, but Backlund wasn't Backlund right away. But Foch kind of bounced around Swedish hockey the last 2-3 years. He spent last year he spent primarily in Hockeyettan, which is the third tier in Sweden. There's three tiers of major Swedish hockey. There's the SHL, and there's Hockey Allsvenskan, the second league, and then there's Hockeyettan, the third league. He spent most of his time in Hockeyettan, occasionally went up to Allsvenskan, but he just couldn't get a foothold in that organization. And if you're a younger guy in Europe, unless you're exceptional, unless they think you're sticking around, you typically don't get a lot of opportunities, because Let's be honest. Why would you? Same thing happened to Ilya Nikolaev when he was playing in Russia. He was in the Lokomotiv organization. And because
it's even worse in Russia.
NHL pick. And so they're like, why should we spend time developing you if we think you're going to go over? And shockingly, you know, because they didn't develop him, he decided to come over. And Nikolaev had a very good season last year with Tri-City. And I think that might, that kind of, I think Nikolaev's success last year playing big minutes in Tri-City might have given the Flames a bit of more of a willingness to try out things with Lucas Foch. So we'll see how that turns out. They're kind of a lot of bodies in the Wranglers organization, I assume.
And they'll be right where Jolly Rancher can watch them.
Yeah. And depending on where I imagine that the ECHL team will be geographically closer to Calgary than Kansas City was. So I imagine the idea is they won't just have Daniil Shchechalev in the ECHL. They'll try to flex some more bodies down with how many bodies they have under contract. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think it's, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's very interesting to hardcore people who cover the team like us, going, ooh, they have a bunch of interesting players on AHL deals. But you know, with Foch, the Flames have his NHL rights for one more season. And if you're going to give up on a player, or you're going to commit to a player, you want to see him up close. You want to see what he is. And if you're convinced that there's something there, and when they drafted him in 19, they were convinced there was something there. If you think there's something there, you want to see him up close before you admit that you were wrong or right. So I think that's going to be kind of interesting.
The other guy they're giving a shot to is a guy named Josh Brook. He was a third round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. He's a very big defenseman. That's the best way to describe it. He's a big defenseman. That's about it. He's got a PTO. There's no AHL deal.
He's on an AHL deal.
Oh, he's also on an AHL deal, but he has an NHL PTO.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the way it usually works is if you're so folks, just so you're aware of all the many, many bodies you're going to see at Flames camp. Typically, if you're on a AHL deal, they bring you to main camp. There's a few guys that won't come. Like, if you know, the bottom rung guys on the AHL totem pole probably won't come to the Flames main camp, but Wranglers camp is going to be in the same building as Flames camp, and so you're going to be in the same city. So I imagine there's going to be a significant overlap for the guys who are in both those things. But yeah, Josh Brook was really well regarded in his draft year, and he's had some injury issues that have sort of cost him some development time a bit. If that sounds like Yusuf Alamaki, yeah, that happens. But you know, Josh Brook, same draft year as Yusuf Alamaki, actually. And you were wrong, Shane. Second round pick. He was 56th overall in 17. Second. He's a good. He was a really well regarded player in his draft year. 6'1", 195. He played for the Moose Jaw Warriors, a very good organization. Shout out to the Warriors and the many nice people I know working in that organization. But yeah, it's AHL deals. They're, you know, you spend a bit of money, you spend a bit of time, but all, you know, one or two of those might turn out. The Flames, Josh Lomberg Ryan Lomberg got an AHL deal and then turned that into an NHL deal. Now he's making decent money. Gardner Hathaway did the same thing. So, you know, sometimes AHL deals are just guys who come in and they're bodies for your organization. And sometimes they come in and there's some value there. So
the guys that know that they have to work every single shift, every single second they're on the ice to do anything. So that's why they make it. The guys that make it are the guys that work. They work their absolute ass off nonstop. So it's never a bad thing. Never a bad thing to have someone with that much work ethic in your organization.
Precisely. And I think that'll do it for this week's edition of Flames Nation Radio. As always, delivered to you by DoorDash and by Eau Claire Distilleries, Rupert's Whiskey, the official whiskey of the Calgary Flames. We'll be back next week for another exciting edition. And hopefully we don't have to break in with another midweek edition, an emergency edition, hours after this blows up, because they're very labor intensive.
I don't know if anything major left is going to happen, but I mean, we'll see.
You're going to jinx it like we did poor Matt Coronato.
Hey, if something major happens, if I jinx it and something major happens, I'll be happy. So I'll take it.
Just nobody post eyeballs anymore. I'm just so over eyeballs.
Other than Leslie. Leslie has the patent in Calgary. Let him do the eyeballs. Just let everyone else stop.
For Shane, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.